The biggest challenge we have in helping someone go from zero to seven figures in 36 months, 48 months, that's all it really should take. The biggest challenge we've got is that you don't believe it's possible. And when you see it coming together, you screw it up because you don't believe it's possible. If you walked out of here and stepped onto the staircase, but you didn't believe the stairs would support your weight and lead you safely to the ground, you'd find a way not to go on those stairs, right?
You're listening to the Profit First for Lawyers podcast, the official companion show to the book Profit First for Lawyers by R. John Robbins. Now, this podcast is for you if you want to bring home more profit while working less hours in the office, spending more time with your loved ones doing the things you actually want to do, and turning your office into a lean, mean, profit-breathing machine. So if you're tired of working for your law firm instead of your law firm working for you, stay tuned for some really practical insights that will get you the results you've always wanted. It's time to put your BS aside for the next few minutes and put yourself, your family, your firm, and your profit first. Welcome back to another episode of the Profit First for Lawyers podcast. I'm your host, Carly. And today, we're talking about one of the things you're most talented at, and which brings value to your clients, but how bringing that skill into your business plan may end up having the exact opposite effect. You may remember a few episodes back that we spoke with Erica Ferenzi, who shared with us the best way to create your business plan and how to bring the seven main parts of your business into alignment. Now, if you didn't have a chance to listen to that episode, we've got it linked in our show notes below just for you. But today, we really wanted to distill the concept of the seven main parts of every law firm, because as lawyers, you are some of the most educated and smart people in the world. But one of the pitfalls of most lawyers that I've ever met, and one of the pitfalls that R. John often speaks about, is the tendency to overcomplicate things in your businesses. Now, Erica mentioned this briefly when she talked about the different hats that she literally asks law firm owners to buy, because your lawyer brain has a very different skill set than your business owner brain. And until you really appreciate the differences between the two, you might be struggling with a tendency to lawyerify your business plans. And R. John is about to tell you exactly why that just doesn't work. Now, this is a clip from all the way back in 2014 at one of How to Manage's now famous live quarterly meetings, or LQMs. And if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to notice that the room is a little smaller than we're used to. R. John's hair is a little darker, but the content he's speaking about really stands the test of time. This is still something that we teach our own members a full decade later, and it has its own dedicated chapter in R. John's book. So without any further ado, let's roll the clip.
There are only seven main parts of a successful business. For the rest of this weekend, I want to ask you to refrain from referring to yourself as a lawyer. Refrain from saying that you're an attorney. Refrain from saying that you have a law firm, because that's not what we're here about. We're here to turn you into successful business owners. So when someone asks what you do, you can say, I'm a business owner. You can say, I'm an entrepreneur, which are both true statements. And if someone says, well, what kind of business do you have? You can say, I have a business that sells legal services. I have a business that does these things. I have a business that helps build America one immigrant at a time. I have a business that helps people get out of unhappy relationships so they can get on with having a new life. I have a business that helps people. And from now on, I want you to think of yourself as business owners, as entrepreneurs who own businesses that make a profit as a byproduct because your business is helping your clients to make a profit in their lives too. We're going to be talking a lot about the different stakeholders in your business. You are obviously a major stakeholder in your business. your investors, i.e. your family, who have invested their time, their money, their energy. Listening to you bitch and complain is an investment. If you doubt me, talk to my wife. Your family is invested in your business. They want to know your business is going to make a profit for you, of course. They want to know your business is going to make a profit for them. We're sacrificing this time with you on the weekends. We're sacrificing this time with you in the evenings. We're sacrificing this time with you, and we're doing this with the expectation that it's going to make our lives together better. Not just more money, but we're doing this with the expectation that you're going to be a happier husband or a happier wife or a happier sister, brother, mother, father. They're expecting to make a return on that investment that they are making in your business. And I think you owe it to them because that's what we do. We make a return on investment to our investors. We give them a profit. Your clients are coming to you because they want to make a profit also. Your clients are coming to you because right now they have a situation they don't want. It could be a situation where they're facing something bad that they don't want to suffer from. It could be a situation that's potentially good, but they're frustrated because they don't know how to capitalize on it. In any case, they have a situation they don't want to be in, and they're coming to you because they're hoping that your service, your product, the experience you will deliver to them, they're hoping that that will give them a way to improve their situation. And anytime you exchange a situation that you don't want to be in for a situation you prefer to be in, what you've just done is you've made a profit, right? That's all that profit is. By the way, if you're not making a lot of mistakes in your business, I know two things. I know that you probably take pride in the wrong things, and I know your business has stagnated. Because if you do 10 things, 8 of them are probably not going to be the right decision after it's all said and done. You'll probably have to make 8 mistakes to get 2 that aren't mistakes. And one of those 2 will be okay, and the other will be so successful that everyone will think that is your shining achievement and that you're a genius, and they will forget about the 8 boo-boos from before.
Hey, folks. We have a really great free resource for you if you're ready to start doing this exercise. So head to profitfirstforlawyers.com/action. to download our business plan workbook and start taking action on this right now, today.
The 7 main parts are as follows. There's the marketing, which leads to the sales. Sales leads to the factory. Factory leads to the people. People leads to the physical plant. And the physical plant leads to the money and the metrics. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Where's number 7? Number 7 is you. To appreciate that, you got to understand that this is a 2-dimensional image of a 7-figure business. In point of fact, this is a more realistic version. This is like a map of the city or the county or the world. It's 2-dimensional. What's more accurate than a map, a 2-dimensional map, of course, is a globe, right? So this is like the equivalent of a globe. There's the marketing, which leads to the sales, which leads to the factory, which leads to the people, which leads to the physical plant, which leads to the money and the metrics, which of course drives your marketing decision. And in the middle of this whole thing is the wild card. In the middle of this whole thing is the reason this doesn't work. It's you.
Me? I'm the reason? Now, hold on, folks. It gets even better.
See, the biggest challenge we have in helping someone go from zero to seven figures in 36 months, 48 months, that's all it really should take. The biggest challenge we've got is that you don't believe it's possible. And when you see it coming together, you screw it up because you don't believe it's possible. If you walked out of here and stepped onto the staircase, but you didn't believe the stairs would support your weight and lead you safely to the ground, you'd find a way not to go on those stairs, right? Because the marketing is very predictable. It's fairly mechanical. But the problem is, you're going to say, well, that couldn't possibly be all there is to it. It's got to be more complicated. But it doesn't. And I'm going to show you everything you need to know about sales to build a $1 million business. But the problem is, you don't believe that's true. You don't believe it's possible. You think it's got to be more complicated. It's got to be because the people with a $1 million business have better connections than me. That's it. It's got to be that the people with a $1 million business are extroverts and I'm an introvert. That's it. It's got to be that they're taller. No. Tall people are intimidating. So it's got to be that they're shorter. No. It's got to be that they're better looking, because I read somewhere that better looking people have some sort of an advantage in certain situations, except that we got people who aren't that good looking who make a lot of money. And what happens is your mind, remember I talked about what keeps people stuck here? I said what keeps people stuck here is the belief that it's okay to be stuck here. What causes people to mess up the marketing and mess up the sales and mess up the factory and mess up their relationships with their people who they have working with them and mess up their physical plan and either fail to install appropriate metrics or ignore the numbers when the numbers are screaming at them, hire someone, go take a class, learn how to do this, get a better office, get a bigger office. What causes people to ignore those metrics is they don't believe that the ultimate effect is actually possible. I'm looking at your faces. I wish you could see what I'm seeing, because I know who the seven-figure business owners in the room are, and they're all laughing and nodding their heads. And they're not laughing at you. I promise you, we are not laughing at you. We're laughing at ourselves because we're thinking about how many years. They're like nodding in unison at this point. We're laughing at ourselves because we realize how silly it was, how much harder we made everything than it had to be. That's why it's so important to do these exercises. That's why it's so important to immerse yourself in this community.
If your law firm has plateaued, or if you've been struggling to grow or to scale, or even just to make a profit, then this episode should get you really excited. Because running a law firm really is as simple as this when we boil it down. And that's why these concepts still work today. They have been proven. We work with hundreds of law firm owners who are thriving, and you can be too. Now, look, I don't normally say this in the course of these episodes, but I really do hope that you've been taking advantage of the free resources that I've been curating for you personally throughout this season. Please do the exercises. Create your business plan. Simplify, and grab on with both hands to the better life that you've always dreamed of. And that's what we've got for you today, folks. Stay tuned next time as we speak with CMO Brian Horn and learn some of the tips and tricks that his clients have been using to substantially grow their client base. We'll see you there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Profit First for Lawyers. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, tell a friend. And visit profitfirstforlawyers.com/action to download the resources that are going to help you put these concepts to work for your law firm. Your future self will thank you for it. And we will see you next time.